some of these names. You hear names like Noah. How many of you know Noah? Okay. When you hear Noah, what do you think of? That the children are there just to play and to run around. It's good for them to run around, but as they are running around, they get used to, because if you leave the child to follow the course of this world, that guy that you used to follow, what's his name? The guy that you learn your things from. It's called what? I can't even hear the name. It's L, a double L. Double L, Cool J. Do you understand? Is it LL Cool J? So it's what LL Cool J. Okay. It not be anything. It's just a name. Now you discover that it's not as though you become like a blank sheet, but there are options. There are options in life. Either you know about Abraham, or you know about Noah, or you know about Daniel. When we say Daniel, what do you think of? The lion's den, isn't it? You learn. Or otherwise, you see that you know about LL Cool J. I don't know who he is. I don't know what he has to offer. I don't know why he's taking you. I don't know what he's doing to your life. I don't know how he's affecting your life. But he's there. He's there. He's there as an LL Cool J, whatever he calls himself, but he's there. And who else is there? Who is that? Who is that? It's called what? Trey, as in Trey in seven, and then songs. Trey songs. It doesn't matter. It's a song. It's songs. So you see, I don't know whether you guys understand, but I'm talking to you. I'm not talking to the air. I don't know whether you can appreciate what I'm saying to you, that you see, instead of your child or you learning about Abraham, Noah, Daniel, Solomon. When you think of Solomon, who do you think of? What do you think about? The wise man, isn't it? Yeah. Instead of learning about these people, that there's someone called Abraham, there's somebody called Daniel, there's someone called Daniel who believed in God, and God delivered him from the lion's den. I mean, to even discover the adventures and the powers of God and God's ability in your life, that as you are coming up, because as you are growing up, you find yourself in a lion's den situation at a point. You see yourself, you see, when I was in second year, I remember I was going to write an exam, and I met this chap who was in his final year, and he was walking around the Great Hall. We're going to write the exam in the hall called the Great Hall. So he was walking around the hall, and I knew him. It was called Martin. I knew him in the Christian Fellowship, and I saw him that he went round the Great Hall once, and I asked him, and he came back. And I saw that he was like talking to himself. It's like, so about the third time when I saw him come by, so I stopped him. I said, Martin, what's going on? Because it's my Christian brother. I was hoping that he wasn't going off because he's about to write an exam. So I said, Martin, what's going on? What's happening? He said to me, I'm doing the Jericho March. He said to me that today is my last exam in my last year. And today the walls must fall. Do you know Jericho? He said Jericho. He said today the walls must fall. So he said he's going around the Great Hall seven times. And afterwards he shall enter the exam hall triumphantly. Triumphantly. He shall enter with victory. So he said he said, Mighty, I'm doing the Jericho match. He said, what I'm doing is a Jericho match. So it's like I'm on the third. He said, you've caught me on the third round. I have four more to do before we are called to enter. But I said, today is my last exam in this school. This is my last exam in my last year. So I'm doing the Jericho match. After the seventh, I'll enter the hall and every paper shall bow. So after the exam, I saw him And I said, Martin, how was it? Do you know his response? He said, under the blood. It was under the blood. And the exam, the question, everything was, I was under control. The blood of Jesus prevailed. He said, under the blood. So I'm saying to us that you need these things in your life to guide you. You know, to guide you when you have knowledge of this, you find yourself in a lion's den situation. One day you remember God, that there is a God who delivered Daniel. That God that delivered Daniel shall deliver you, isn't it? That's how faith builds up. That's how you build up your faith, and you know where you are and what you are and what you have. So what I'm saying to us this morning is that when you are not there, then you have what? You say what? Tony songs. Trey songs. You have LL Cool J. Then you have who else? Say it slowly. The names are not nice, so say it slowly so we can hear. J for Jim. And then Holiday. J Holiday. You are just mentioning the names for you to see that, look, they are real people. Real, you see, instead of Abraham, you have J Holiday. Then instead of Daniel, you have Trey Songz. And then instead of Noah, you have who? LL Cool J. And you are wondering why you are the way you are. Why there's no God in your life. It even begs to ask that, what do we even call a blessing? Because the things that you call a blessing are really not blessings. Because if you read the Bible, you see that the Bible says that God allows the sun to shine on the house of the wicked and the righteous. He allows the rain to fall in the house of the wicked and the righteous. So even some of the things that you may think is a blessing, it's not necessarily a blessing. It's unfortunate that sometimes we count things that are not blessings to be blessings. I mean, your top blessing is to know God, is to be saved, It's the highest blessing you can ever come across, highest blessing. You know what? Anytime people teach about the rapture, do you know about the rapture? Have you heard the word rapture? You know rapture. Yeah. Anytime people teach about the rapture, when the saints of God shall be raptured. These days, we don't hear. The reason I'm asking is because you don't hear such a message. It's not so common. So you have been a Christian for 10 years and you haven't heard that there's something called rapture, that there's a second coming of Christ. That one day will be there, one will be taken, another is left. And one of the common things that is used, example that is used, is that you can be in an aircraft flying. Where would you like to go? Dubai. How many hours is it from here to Dubai? About 7 hours. So you are flying. You're flying at an altitude of what? 38,000. And you've done about 3 hours. And then suddenly the rapture occurs. And the pilot happens to be born again. So he's raptured. It's a common example that is used. So in that moment, you that are left, those who are left behind, who will fly that aircraft? Who will fly it? Who will fly? Because the pilots are saved and they are born again. They are Christians. So you are there, 38,000 feet in the air. And then suddenly the rapture occurs. And the captain and his co-pilot are taken off. And then you are left with a couple of stewards. And there'll be a lot of people on the flight because a lot of people don't go to church. A lot of people don't believe in Christ. A lot of people don't even practice Christianity. And then there you are, full flight. Full flight, no pilot. Because fewer people will go. Fewer people will be saved. The world is an interesting place. If you travel a lot, you'll see that there are a lot of human beings in the world because you see a flight, full flight, and you don't know anybody on the flight. You don't know anybody. both going and coming. You don't know anybody. You don't know anybody. I mean, you know nobody. You know nobody. I go to Ghana very often. Very, very often. I will tell you that 9.9 times out of 10, I don't know anybody on board. I don't meet anybody that I know. Not even a cousin. Or a cousin brother. Or a cousin sister. I know nobody. So you see that there are a lot of people in the world. And most of the people are not saved. Most of the people are not, and even those who claim to be saved. They are not sure whether they are saved. So if the rapture should happen. I mean, look. If the rapture should happen right now. It will be a very interesting experience in this room. You'll be surprised that we're all here. But it will be a very interesting experience. Because. And you say, in case, I'm not hoping to be left here. But in case you are left here, just make sure you pack our equipment with you, okay? In case you see some are gone, when you are going, just make sure you pack up some of the things. And then next week, come and teach those who will come back. I'm appointing you as a shepherd. Over those who will be left. Just come back, because we know that I told you about it before it happened. So when it happens, come back. Next week, come back here. We've paid for it. We've paid till November. So don't leave. Don't waste God's money. Again, at least you didn't believe. Now you believe. No, but seriously, after the rapture, a lot of people will become very serious with God. It might be late, but they'll become very, 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 because they'll say, look, the thing is not a joke. To tell them, look, those guys, we used to think they were fanatics, they were extreme, they were this, but look, it was real. What they believed in was real. They've gone. They've all gone. I've checked. I've called their numbers. I've sent them texts. Different things. They've all gone. I've been to their homes. They are not there. I met the mothers and different people. They were not there. They've gone. So look, you'll see, they'll become revivalists. And we'll be chilling in heaven. We'll see. We'll be real. It'll be real. It'll be real. RR cool R. Yeah. You'll see us really, really, really chilling somewhere in heaven. Looking at them as they become revivalists on the face of the earth. And we say, wow. When we were pressing, they thought we were not serious. So, in any case, I'm talking to you about the will of God today. And I believe that it's something that you have to know about. And you have to take it very seriously. Because when you are in the will of God, it's different from when you are not in the will of God. There are two different worlds. I personally spend a lot of time praying for the will of God. So that's not on anything. I just pray, Lord, your will be done. 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 So that even when I'm going to preach and I stand up to preach, my prayer will be, Father, let your will be done in this service. Because I can't put God in a box and say, God, you know, this is what I want to do. I've not thought about, since I woke up this morning till now, I've not thought about rapture. It never even occurred to me to even talk about rapture, to say anything about the rapture. Nobody has even mentioned that word, the rapture. But as I'm talking, I feel like talking to you about the rapture to bring your minds to it, because a lot of minds are not on it. You see, the Bible says that because we have this hope, we keep ourselves pure. Yeah, so one of the reasons why you see a Christian, a believer striving to deny himself and to take up his cross and to follow God like the film stars were portraying, is because we have the hope that there is a day called the rapture. There's a day called the rapture. Where the Bible says that the trumpet shall be sounded. There shall be, it's as though an angel will blow a trumpet and the whole world will hear it. And then suddenly, the Bible says, in the twinkling of an eye, we'll be taken out of this world. So there's this old story again. I don't know whether it's true. Some claim that it's true, but I don't have any proof. Well, there was this brother who was seriously fornicating in a country. In that country, they have buses. They honk a lot. And the horn of the buses sounds like a trumpet. So in the middle of one of his fornicatious activity, whilst he was in it, he heard a bus passing by. And he thought, because he was a Christian and he's been taught about the rapture, he thought it was the trumpet. So he jumped off the girl and collected his clothes and said, "I cannot be left." And then he realized that it was a bus. Well, some people say it's a real story. Others say that, well, it is. But I don't know. I mean, I've not met him. If I meet him, I'll ask him whether it's true. I'll ask him a lot of questions. I'll just ask him which stage of the fornication had he reached. Beginning, middle, or towards the end. I would like to know how he managed to jump. Because there's a point of no return. You can't easily jump like that. You can't jump. You say to the angel, wait. I've got to finish this thing. One sister said, the only time her husband tells her he loves her when he gets to that point. Hey. Anyway, Romans chapter 12. There's no love in the house till that moment. So she said, "Pastor, can you please tell him that all those ones don't count? The only one that counts is if you are sober and your senses are working. Then you can say it, then I'll believe it. But if you say it at that point, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you." Romans chapter 12. Gene, are you with me? Are you in church? You're here. Romans chapter 12. Are you from Romans chapter 12? Are you happy to be in church?
Yeah!
I'm preaching a very, very good message. Very good message. It's a nice message. "Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship." That's verse 1. Verse 2 says that, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." Your mind is one of the great battlegrounds in developing as a believer. You need your mind to be renewed. In other words, the mind that you had before you became a Christian has expired. Have you seen a drink that has expired before? You went to a country once and all the drinks were given had expired. I won't tell you what country it is, but it's an incredible country. All the drinks that we had expired. You see, it expired in May, it expired in March, it expired in January, it expired in June. Chilled, and when you are thirsty, you want to drink. So the mind, what the scripture is saying is that you need to renew the mind that has expired. It means that the mind from the world, you can't use it in the kingdom of God. That is the ideas, the strategies, the manner of life, the way of doing things. You can't import it. You can't import it into the kingdom of God and use it there. You have to change your ways. That's why you see that something that looks so cool. It looks so cool to you as an ambient. You actually look funny. You actually look funny when you come into church and into the house of God. Do you understand what I'm saying? I mean, unbelievers look funny. Or sometimes people who actually think that they are so cool. They are so cool. They have this kind of semi-pseudo Christian ways. I mean, they look funny. They look like uncooked rice that is being served. Has someone served you with uncooked rice before?
Yes.
You know, it looks. I mean, you even want to ask the person, what are you doing? What are you trying to do? Because those of us who are saved, who are Christians, who practice Christianity to, if you like, its logical conclusion, we are very happy with ourselves. We don't feel we are losing anything or we are missing out on anything. At least I don't feel I'm missing out on anything. Do you feel you're missing out on anything? I don't feel I'm missing out on anything. There's anything there. So when you see someone whose mind is still not renewed, who still feels and thinks that there's a way, you want to come and sit next to you? You're all right. You can move. It's fine. Sure. you said something. But I don't feel I'm missing out on anything. Do you feel you're missing out on anything? No. There's nothing there to miss out on. There's nothing I miss out. It's actually even a lifestyle that you can't even testify of. That you can't even talk about. That you will not even like anybody to know that, unless you are singing and you are ministering, that you say, "Now I'm saved. Now I'm saved. Now I'm this. Now I'm this. Now I'm that. I used to be like this. I used to be like that. I used to be like this. I used to be this." Even that they summarize it. I mean, they can't tell us the details that I used to tell my mother I'm going to my friend's house. Then I go to Dulwich, Camberwell, and Peckham. And what do you go and do there? Do you go and buy fish or meat? People are telling us that I used to sleep around, go here from girl to girl, from this to this. Somebody said that I used to go to Dulwich, Camberwell, and Peckham. To do what? To buy fish? To buy meat? To buy patty? They're summaries. They're all summaries. Yeah, and I said, they're all summaries because their mind is renewed so much that look, I can't just talk like that. I can't just talk. We don't talk like it's unethical to talk like that. I mean, yeah, we can't see things like that. Aisha, do you understand? Yeah. What do you go and buy in Camberwell? What is in Camberwell? Who do you know in Camberwell? So renewing of the mind so that you may prove what the will of God is, and what is good, and acceptable, and perfect. So, in other words, there is the acceptable will of God, and there is the perfect will of God, the perfect. So, as you renew your mind, you begin to strive for the perfect will of God, the perfect will of God. Today, I want to tell you. Maybe I want to give you two, or max three. Reasons why so many people are in the imperfect will of God. Just two or three reasons why so many people actually live in the imperfect will of God. And they live in it very comfortably, very, very comfortably. Very, very, very comfortably in the imperfect will of God. Are you in church or you left? Yeah. You see, I'll tell you, generally, the perfect and imperfect will of God can be close and parallel. Do you understand? It's so close and parallel that sometimes it's difficult to differentiate between what is the perfect, because it's very easy to choose between lying and telling of the truth. isn't it? I mean, when you see good and bad, good and evil, it's very easy. It's very easy to say, no, evil is evil. So, you know, I'm not going to do any evil. I'm going to do good. But we are talking about the permissive will of God, that you've been permitted. You've been permitted. You've been permitted. You see, especially when you're a parent, you realize that you appreciate some of these things off the board, because you see yourself permitting your child to do things that you otherwise wouldn't have chosen for your child. But it's like, look, have it, take it, just do it. And even when you're a pastor, you have to take into account losing this person, because when you lose the person, what do you lose? You lose the person to Tony what? Trey Songz, and then where? LL Cool J, and then who else? Jay Holiday, and then who else? It's enough of the names. You need a holy atmosphere. but you see that when you lose the person, you lose the person to all these kind of demonized world. So it's like it's better to allow the person to be around with a little defect, but still serving God. But you see, but that is the imperfect will. That's the permissive will. Because perhaps the person is not ready to give up everything. It's not ready to pay the full price. It's like, okay, let's hang around. Let's all be there. Perhaps as we move on, you will decide that, look, I've had enough of this. And then gradually slide fully into the kingdom of God. But when you try telling the person right from the word go that, look, cut off everything, they say, no, I'm not ready. Then I won't go to church again. How many of you have seen people like that? If you're going to push it, then no church. So there are a lot of people in church-going people, but they are in the imperfect will of God. Imperfect. That is, if God is true, that's not what God will choose for them. That's not where God will like to bless them. Real blessings, not blessings of cars and shoes. There's anything. You see, anything. Let me tell you. Let me explain something to you. Anything an unbeliever has. You see, God said in His Word, "I'll make a difference between Israel and Egypt." I can differentiate between. Believers and unbelievers. It's very easy for God. So when you see things like, when you use things like clothes, shoes, you know, cars, houses, those are not things that you use to differentiate between a believer and an unbeliever. It's an unfortunate vision and aim for any Christian to have. That, I mean, you must be intelligent enough. You must be intelligent enough to know that, let me study hard and pass my exams. You must be intelligent enough to know. Instead of saying that, I mean, you know, God is with us because we are passing exams. What do you mean? Because what about unbelievers who are passing exams? You must be clear. Don't you have common sense that you have to study? Yeah. I mean, do you have to fast and pray over? I mean, when there are other things that you have to fast and pray about. Yeah. I'm not saying you shouldn't pray about your exams. You should pray about your exams. You can fast about it. But what I'm saying is that you can't reduce God to that, to things that you have and things that you don't have. Because, you see, when you're not doing well, it's more of laziness. Because the Bible says that a little sleep and a little slumber, poverty will come. Poverty is like failure. In other words, you didn't apply sufficient effort to achieve what you have to achieve and to do what you have to do. So these are not things that you use to define whether God is with you or God is not there. Whether God is here, God is not there. Because what about all the unbelievers that have the things that you have? Does it mean that God is with them? So those are not the things that you count when you're counting your blessings. Those are not the real things that you count. Those are like the mercies of God. The mercies of God on the world, sunshine, rain, you know, life. I mean, those are just the mercies of God that He gives. But there are real things, like your salvation, like the Holy Spirit, like speaking in tongues. You won't find an unbeliever speaking in tongues. So these are the things you have to value. These are the things you have to value. Your understanding of scriptures, your understanding of the word, that the, because the Bible says this, so I can't do that. These are things that you have to begin to value in your life. That when I have this, this is what an unbeliever hasn't got. Faith in God. The Bible says not all men have faith. So faith in God is revealing who you are and what you are and the blessings of God in your life. That you have God and you trust in God and you believe in God. Your faith in God, not your new car that you are driving or your nice shoes that you are wearing. Please. Or your nice hair on your head. I beg you. Leave God out of these things. So that when you say you are serving God, you can be serious with him. Because there are a lot of people who are not serious with him. There are a lot of people who are walking in the imperfect will of God. That's what I'm explaining to you. Because it's close and it's parallel. Parallel means that it could be headed in the same direction. But they are not going to end up in the same place. Sometimes it even means a good example of something that is moving parallel. Do you know parallel lines? Yeah. Two straight lines next to each other. It's like if you are driving on the road, you see one of the traffic is headed in this direction, another is headed in the opposite direction. So you can take one to be the perfect will, another one to be in the imperfect will, even though they are in the same area, same vicinity. Hey, married people, please come all the way to the front. There are two chairs here for you. Please. Wow. Cliff, you become very humble. Ooh. Ooh. Mm. Wow. Mm. Since you married, you started coming to church late. When we finish, we'll ask them who is the man of the match. I feel Edwina is the man of the match. You have the same feeling. The way they walked in, I feel Cliff has been humbled. I feel Cliff has been surprised. He's in shock. Is Yoli now coming to church? Did she also marry yesterday? Why, amen? Where is she? Where did she settle down? Oh, okay. Wow. There are train disruptions, isn't it? Okay, we'll talk after. Anyway, I was explaining something. I was giving a good illustration of the perfect will and the imperfect will, isn't it? I was showing you that when you see traffic, you're driving, you see traffic, one is this way, the other is that way. Even though they're in the same vicinity, they fall in the same postcode, isn't it? They're all driving the same area. Whatever is happening in the area, they all experience it. But you see clearly that they are headed in opposite directions. Opposite direction. That's the perfect will of God and the imperfect will of God. That is how come so many people are in the imperfect will of God. Because it feels, even when you are in the imperfect, it feels as though you are doing similar things to those who are in the perfect. You are in the same area. You are interested in the same activities. You do the same things. You talk about the same things. You see the same things. I mean, if I start driving on this road right now and I head towards wherever I head towards this way, the traffic coming this way, we see the same things. We see the same things. We hear the same things. But we are going in two different directions. That's how come you see a brother and a brother in the church. One is in the perfect, one is in the imperfect. But it's only a matter of time. It's only a matter of time. You can even have twins. Twins. Identical twins. Stand up. Let's see you. Identical twins. Face them so they can see that they don't know the difference. Can you see that you can't tell the difference? They both have beard. They are the same height. Same shape of head. They sit together. Is the shape of head not the same? It's the same. You are telling us it's longer. We can see. We can tell. But you see, one of them can easily be in the perfect will of God. And the other and the other one can be in the imperfect. But how can you tell? How will you tell? How will you tell? How would you know? How would you know which of them? They're in the same church. They're in the same church. They have the same pastor. They both have iPads. They write notes. They are both, students somewhere, isn't it? What are you doing?
Economics, finance, and banking.
Okay. And you are what?
Chemical engineering.
Uh-huh. So they are both people who are intelligent enough to go to school. Yeah. So which of them is in the perfect and which of them is the imperfect? How can you tell? You can't tell. You can't know. You can't know. But so we have to travel a little bit. We have to go a little bit. As we move on in the years, you will see that the separation will appear. If indeed really one of them is an imperfect, you see, it begins to show up. It begins to show up. You see, one of them will choose a wife. Another one will also choose a wife. You both choose, isn't it? Won't you choose? You choose wives, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah. But you see, but that could be a major junction in their lives. Major, because now they've both chosen the same church. So it's working. But then when it gets to choosing of who we are going to spend it, then you see the differences can begin to show. The cracks will appear. Because one might choose the one he's supposed to choose. The other might choose the one that looks beautiful. Beautiful, but not the perfect will. It shall not be your portion. Please take your seat. Where have they come from today? The food that they left around. Is it gone? Relax, relax. A peace. So, it's because it's close and parallel. That is why so many people can find themselves in the imperfect. Because you can't easily tell the difference. You can't easily tell the difference. It feels like we're all the same. We're all around. We're all doing the same things. We all believe in the same things. People are lifting up their bags. It's gone in already. It's in your bag, yes. I saw it. I saw it. Nicole, I saw it. It's climbing up your shoes. No, Deborah, honest, it went in. I saw two brothers. Their sister was trying to come in, but she couldn't get in. Okay, so let me give you a couple of examples. The first example, Luke chapter 10. Verse 39. Even Luke 10, verse 39, start from 37. And he said, the one who showed mercy toward him, then Jesus said to him, go and do the same. Now as they were traveling along, he entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. Are you pleased to hear of Martha? She had a sister called Mary who was seated at the Lord's feet listening to his word. Okay? But Martha was distracted with all her preparations. And she came up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me. Verse 42. But the Lord answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things, but only one thing is necessary. For Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. So this is a good example of two sisters, and one chooses the perfect will of God. Even though they were in the same house. You see, what the other person was doing was not bad. She was cooking and serving. How many of you know that when you have someone, when you get a visitor or a guest, you have to serve the person. You have to cook and serve. It's a good thing. It's a good thing. But you see, I'm showing you how close and yet it's parallel. It is not the same. It doesn't give you the same result. That sitting at the Lord's feet and listening and hearing the word of God is different from being busy about feeding the Lord. And Martha is complaining that, look, Mary, instead of Mary coming to help in the kitchen, you know how sometimes when you are busy with the work of the ministry, you look very, it's like you are the lazy type. You're the one who doesn't, you know, care about domestic things. No, but let me tip you an advice here. If you're choosing someone to marry, choose Martha, okay? If you're looking for a lady pastor, then choose Mary. Yeah. If you're a pastor in your church and you're looking for a lady pastor, somebody to help you in church, choose Mary. You're looking for someone to marry, choose Martha. If you choose Mary, you'll be hungry. Yeah. Should I repeat it? Maybe some of you didn't get it. There are two sisters. Jesus has visited the home of two sisters. One named Mary, the other named Martha. Fly away, Mary. Fly away, Martha. Come back, Mary. Come back, Martha. So, the two sisters, as I visited them, as he was in the house, Martha is frying eggs and sausages and bacon. Because the Lord must eat. And then Mary appears to be lazily sitting there asking questions about shepherding and how to pray for the sick. And how to follow up. It's like when you follow up someone for a while and the person doesn't seem to be coming, what should you do? And then the Lord is explaining, you know, pray for the person, do this. And she's sitting there saying, you know, I read this scripture, Revelation chapter 10 and verse 3. I don't quite understand it. And then the Lord is explaining. And then Martha is frying this, toasting bread, this. So she comes out and says, look, Lord, I'm very busy trying to get food for us to eat. My sister is just sitting here. Won't you tell her to come? And the Lord said, you know what? There's the perfect will and there's the imperfect will. Your sister has chosen the perfect. I cannot tell her to walk away from it. I can't tell her to walk away from it. But I am adding and telling you something. I'm telling you something. That if you were not just on ordinary visitation, you know, to just bring exhortation and things, that when everybody should come and sit down and hear your exhortation. But if in your presence in the house, you have two sisters in the house, you enter a house, two sisters in the house, both of them are church members, one named Maria and the other named Aisha. Hey. Yeah, that's that. And you enter the house, and then Aisha is the one giving you the food. And Maria is the one, she's asking questions. And she's doing singing practice. She's saying that we have a song to sing. What I'm telling you is that as much as you are encouraging Maria to sing and explain the verses to her, if you have anybody to put a ring on her finger, put it on Aisha's finger. Because when you take her home, you eat. Maria, when you take her home, it will be memory verses. Memory verses. Memory verses. So that's just, I'm just throwing that in. so that you can see as you are looking at the face. Because every time that's so Martha is some terrible girl, but she's not a terrible girl. She's a very homely. I mean, she also loves the Lord. She also loves the Lord. She also just that she's interested in the Lord in a different way. She's interested in the health of the Lord and the strength. I mean, she cares about him. She cares, but she cares about him in more of a material and physical manner. Than somebody who is interested in him for spiritual things. Like, what can I get spiritually? I want anointing. I want revelation. That is Mary. So she's the lady pastor. She's the prophetess. She's the shepherd. She's the bustle leader. That's Mary. But the one that you can live with, you can live with. Because she also loves and cares. She also loves. It's a kind of love. But it's an imperfect will. Yeah, the one who loves you is Martha. You have to take her home. See, when you walk through the doors, you see, I have two daughters. One of them always asks me, "Have I eaten? Are you not?" One of them, her thinking is amazing. I get surprised all the time. It comes so natural, including last night, including yesterday. We all sat in the car. I was driving and she leaned forward like this and asked me, "Daddy, are you tired she always that's how she thinks about me. "Are you tired? What will you eat? Would you like to have this? You have to have that. So you see it very early. You see the person's life, that the person is thinks in a certain way. That, "Will you eat? Will you like something? Would you do this? Would you do that? You know, would you like to have this?" It's a mind. The other one also loves me. I don't think the other one, I mean, she also loves me. But she's more interested in my Bibles and my DVDs and my soaking in of messages. Do you think you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. Have you mentioned anybody's name? So if you go and tell any of them, those of you who are looking at me, if you go and say to one of them that I said one is Martha, those of you, Annabelle, Zoe, and Nanama, have you mentioned anybody's name? So if you are telling the story, say it properly. I don't want domestic pressure. There are people who always tell my children everything I say in church. So that I can see the three suspects who are present today. As I'm talking, they are choosing who is Mary and who is Martha. Isn't it? You're all choosing, isn't it? Dorothy is another one. You two have warned. But they are. So you see here, one has chosen the perfect will and one has chosen the imperfect. Even though they're in the same house. Are they not in the same house? Both of them love the Lord. Don't they both love the Lord? But one loves the Lord enough to hear where the scriptures discuss things. That one loves the Lord. Say, "What will you eat? What would you have?" I mean, she's so warm. She's so nice to be with. Like, "What would you eat? Won't you eat something?" But she doesn't think scriptures are important. So the Lord has gone and look, this is a perfect will. My perfect will is that she should be here. So I am, she said, it shall not be taken away from her. It won't be changed because she has chosen what is necessary. One thing is necessary and she has chosen it. So you have to choose the will of God for your life. It's just one, you have to find that perfect will of God for your life. It's just one like that. You choose it. It's not two. It's not this and that. Or this and part of that. Yeah. Sometimes want to be believers and want to be unbelievers at the same time. But you can't have both. You can't be both. A lot of people here would like, I mean, they also like a few, you know. Isn't it? Wouldn't you like, even though I haven't mentioned the name of the thing, but you know. But you see, you have to discover at a point in your life that one thing is necessary. It's just one. That's why sometimes it's difficult for some guys to marry. You see, one brother said to me once that, I wish I could have this girl's body with this other sister's character. But I told him that, look, one thing is necessary. You have to choose one. You have to. So I said to him, what is important to you? Character or body? So you choose. If it's body, then take the nice body with bad character. If it's character, then take the nice character with not so nice body. Finish. You have to choose. Yes, I told you, he has to choose, isn't it? So you, the body you can work on. But you can also work on the character. You can, yeah. But sometimes you see, because of that, they never make a choice. They never make a choice. They never say, I'm taking this. Because like, this has this, and this has that, and this has that, this has that, this has this, and this has that. Have you not been in a shop where you don't know what to choose before? You've seen the things you want, but there are so many different types that you are wondering, which one do you need? Which one is good for you? As you are standing there, you're asking yourself, which one is good for you? Which one is good for you? And you spend hours and hours and hours and hours working on what is good for you. But one thing will be good for you. One thing. You have to pray about it. You have to fight to discover the perfect will of God for your life. I'll give you one more example. Give you one more example. My second example is from Matthew chapter 25. There are some 10 sisters there. 5 of them were described as foolish, and 5 were described as wise. But the kingdom of heaven will be comparable to 10 virgins. They were all virgins. Hey. 10 of them, all virgins. All of them virgins. These is virgins are not common, but you can find them in the Bible. Or airlines. Yeah. The closest you can come to a virgin in the world today is airlines and what? Trains. Yeah, trains and media. Yeah, media stuff. That's the closest you can come to a virgin. But a human being walking around. Hey, don't even think about it. Otherwise, you'll be very sad. It says that there were 10 virgins, all of them. And that was, all of them have similar, they had a similar appearance. Similar appearance. We're all virgins. We're all virgins. We all go to church. We all believe in God. We all trust in God. Isn't it? Yeah, we're all virgins, virgins. That's what we are. We're all virgins. We have not known any man. Yeah, we haven't known any man. We've not been raped before. We are virgins. So when someone is raped, is a person committing fornication? Have you thought about it before? You haven't. You see, you don't think a lot. Anyway, listen. Are you listening to me? We are reading the Bible. Who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom? 5 of them were foolish and 5 were prudent. Wow. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. But the prudent took oil in the flasks along with their lamps. Now while the bridegroom was delaying, they all got drowsy and began to sleep. But at midnight there was a shout, "Behold, the bridegroom, come out and to meet him." Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the prudent, "Give me some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the prudent answered, "No, there will not be enough for us and you too. go instead to the dealers and buy some for yourselves. And while they were going away to make the purchase, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding feast, and the doors were shut. You see, this really is typical of the coming of Christ. Those who will be ready for him and those who won't be ready for him. This particular parable shows us that Christ will come, and when he comes, there'll be some who will be like wise virgins. There'll be some who will be like foolish virgins. There's some who would have wasted and used all their virtue and all the things. They've just wasted it. They don't have anything extra to make them ready, that when he comes, we are still ready to meet him. If he comes today, it's a question you must ask yourself. Every day when you wake up, ask yourself, if Christ comes today, am I ready to meet him? You see, I sat on a train the other day. The other way, we sat on a train. I think we're coming from, where were we coming from? Birmingham, Milton Keynes. Yeah. We sat on the train, and then where we sat, there's some bags on top of us. Bags on top of us. And there was nobody sitting around us. So I was three other people. As we look at the rucksacks up there, I asked them, are you ready to go to heaven? Because as we're looking at the bags in front of us, we don't know what it is. You don't even have time to run away. Where are you running to? Because the train is moving, and when we are seated, and these bags are right on top of us. There's nobody to our right. There's nobody in front of us. There's nobody behind us. But someone has left two bags there. I said, you know what this thing could be? I said, well, you know what these things could be? At least we are here, so you shouldn't be afraid. I said, you know what? So my question I asked that, are you ready to meet your God? Are you ready to meet your God? Because that was what came to my mind. What came to my mind was not to run away or to go and sit somewhere else. If this thing, in the next 3 seconds, if this thing goes up, boom, am I ready? Am I ready to be? So it's a question you must ask yourself all the time. So you can be a wise virgin. That, are you ready to meet God? Are you ready to meet God? Are you ready to meet God? Instead of moving around like a foolish virgin. I didn't use the word foolish, it's the Bible. I can't call you foolish. You are too nice to be called foolish. But instead of being a foolish virgin who is playing with time and playing with his life and playing around, you have to ask yourself, this is it. So you see, two sets of people again. One set are in the perfect will, another set are in the imperfect. But see, when we're all together, we all call 10 virgins. 10 virgins. We all call 10. Everybody assumes that we all do the same things. Everybody assumes that we all have the same mind. Everybody assumes that we've all prayed. We all have our quiet time. We all fear God. We all try. I mean, we try to live away from sin. Everybody assumes that we're all in First Love Church, isn't it? We're all in First Love Church. We all go to church. We all dance. We all shout. We all say all the things. When we say boom, we all say just like that. We all say this. We all do the same things. We're all virgins. But the question is, are there foolish ones and are there wise ones? That's the question. Is there one set amongst us who are in the perfect will, and then another set are in the imperfect will? Do you understand? Yeah. Because we're all virgins. When we're all together, we all look the same. We all have First Love t-shirts on. If I sit in the congregation, who will tell who the pastor is? You can't even tell who the pastor is. I just have to come and sit next to Michael. If someone walks into the church, it's like, I mean, they might think that Andrew is the pastor. He's just doing a demo on the keyboard as he's preaching. Yeah. Or even Cliff. Cliff looks more like the pastor, isn't it? And his wife. I mean, this is the pastor's wife. I mean, can't you see this is the pastor and the pastor's wife? Yeah, I look like an usher. He's about to trying to show people where to sit. Look at that man of God. Man of God in this. Yeah. Yeah. You saw him yesterday with a lot of words to somebody's father and mother. Talking to that. I said, Clive, take your time. Yeah. He said, look, this is what specimen of a woman. What did you say? Something specimen. A fine specimen of a woman. It's like I couldn't do anything to her than to put a ring on her finger. Eish. Eish. We're soaking in the message, I'm telling you. You will hear it. You hear your message for a few weeks to come. We really soaked in the message. So when he finished with Edwina, then he turned to her parents and spoke to them. I mean, a man who has not smiled throughout the day. He just started, he's like, I said, Cliff has the charm. Yeah. Throughout the day, he wasn't smiling. He was tense. I don't know whether he's giving his daughter away or what was the problem. But he was there. I tried everything throughout the sermon. He didn't smile. Then suddenly, Cliff started talking to him. Even when he came after Cliff to speak, he wanted to preach. You can say that the anointing has come. Cliff has defrosted the frozen anointing on the man's life. Hey, he is now saying, look, I had spiritual embargo on your life, the mantle on my head. And I said, hey, take your time, brother. The Cliff effect is working. As a man of God, I place a spiritual embargo on your life. I said, hey, Cliff, what have you done to the man? What have you done to your father-in-law? Man of God. You see, man of God. He looks more like a man of God. Doesn't he? And his wife. Doesn't she look like a pastor's wife? Yeah. Like first lady of first love. Shabaya. It's bombastic. Spiritual embargo. Forgive me, but I was learning new terms to practice in my prayers. I place spiritual embargo on all of you. It was a beautiful wedding, isn't it? Yeah, we learned a lot of things. But Cliff has words. Hey! Hey! Is that how he's been talking throughout the night? He has been talking, you see. He has been saying things. And you've been soaking it in. When he says that you eat, you say, oh, Cliff. Are you not happy to be in church? We are very, very happy to be here. We are very, very, very happy. Are you not happy to be here? Yeah. We are very, very, very. Ruby, are you not happy? Oh, we are very, very, very happy. Very, 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 very happy. Very, 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 very happy. Very, very happy. Oh, Cliff. My last example, Matthew 24. Fine specimen of a woman or of a female. Of a woman. Fine specimen. You have to learn the right words to use. So learn it and go and use it. Somebody might follow you. If there are no spiritual embargoes on her life. the sister herself has lifted the embargo. She's cut herself free before daddy found out. Thinking of myself. When your father was speaking, I was thinking of myself. Saying to any of my daughters, you see that, you see, I prayed. You see. But you see, but having lived with and amongst your world and your life, I can see that, you see, there are a lot of things that fathers don't know. You see, we don't know, but we think we know. And then you can easily end up giving a spiritual explanation which reveals your naivety. Can you imagine any of my daughters you feel or kill? I'm saying, you, I pray for you that meanwhile, before you meet somebody's beloved, they have lifted the embargo already. So I was sitting, I was thinking of myself, I said to myself, hey, there are some things I shouldn't say. Yeah. So, you know, I bind every brother. The brothers, they are moving already. When you bind them, they don't bind. They're on the move. They have moved. They have moved. Imagine you, your father coming to say that you, when I gave birth to you, that day I made a covenant with Jehovah. He doesn't know when you broke the covenant. When you're moving in Camberwell and Dulwich and the Peckham, he said, I have a covenant with Jehovah. You look at Cliff, which embargo can catch him? Matthew 24. Let me give you one more example of imperfect and perfect. Are you understanding why a lot of people are in the imperfect will? A lot of people are in the imperfect will of God. Yeah. Plenty. You've got plenty of people. We just assume we're all the same. Just assume we're all the same. When you look at me, look, we all in the same. We all go to First Love Church. Isn't it? We all go to First Love Church. We all dance. We all say found love. Yeah. Akim, you're a star. You're a star. You're a soloist star. I don't know why they've missed you from the stars. Have you found verse 41? The Bible says that two women shall be grinding at the mill. The one shall be taken and the other left. You see, all these verses are reminders of the rapture. So two women, we all in church. So you see, we'll all be even singing in praise and worship, the worship choir, saying found love. Before that, one has gone, the other is left. Yeah, they'll be doing slide. Before they slide, it's like slide. I've advised you, when you find yourself left, continue with the ministry. Okay, continue. Have more conviction that the thing is real. So continue. Me, I'm trusting God that I'll go. I'm going on the first call. I'm gone. When you start, where is Bishop? He's gone. Eish. God take me. Eish. I should go. Don't you think I should go? I think I should go. I mean, tried. Hey, I won't really want to go. But two, we'll be doing the same things. We're all the same. We all look the same. We're all around. We're all in the same church, involved in the same activities. Isn't it? We all sing in the choir. We all film stars. We all worship stars. We all singing stars. We're singing. Everybody telling their story. I used to tell my mom, I'm going to my friends, and I go to Dulwich, Camberwell, and Peckham. Summarize visitation. We all go out, do this, that. We're all saying our things. One will be taken and the other is left. Because one was in the will of God, perfect will of God, and one was in the imperfect will of God. One was in the perfect will, the other was in the imperfect will of God. Completely in the imperfect will of God, and one was in the perfect will of God. Perfect will. That's why one is taken and one is left. So though, you see two guys there? See two guys? Two guys like that. One can be taken and one can be left. One can be in the perfect will of God and one of them can be in the imperfect will of God. How can we know? They should find out. They shouldn't ask me after church. Nobody should ask me after church, do you think I'm in the perfect will or imperfect? I don't know. I'm also thinking of myself. Am I in the perfect or in the imperfect will of God? You should also know. I'm only here to explain to you and to give you three quick examples of the possibility that as you are there, we're all serving God, we all look the same, we are not the same. We are not the same. And how easy it is for us to be blown into the imperfect will of God. Because when you walk into church, we don't ask for ID and to ask for, do you have the perfect will ID? Do you have this? We don't do any. I mean, church is a public place. It's a public place. Anybody can come. Anybody comes. Anybody comes. And as when they come, they look at us as though they've not been to church before since they were born. It's like, what is going on here? Anybody, because we don't have an idea. Have you been to church before? Do you know Noah? Do you know Abraham? Do you know this? They don't know anything. Anybody enters, but we are all in the church. We are all in the church. And we all welcome. We all welcome here. We are anybody is welcome any day, anytime. Anybody. Did anybody receive a special invitation from me before you came today? No, everybody came. When you woke up in the morning, you chose which church you go. You are, today I'm going to First Love. Today I'm going here, isn't it? Yeah. Is that Helen? What's your name? Anna. Yeah, Anna. You woke up the morning, they say, I'm going to First Love, isn't it? Then you arrive. Tasha, you decided, look, First Love, let's go. Zoe, you also said, when you woke up this morning, you said, look, I'm going to look out for that First Love place, isn't it? Then you came. Yeah. I was in the same house with you, but I didn't know where you're going to church today. I was here and you came. Yeah. Same house with her. We were in the same house with her. When she woke up, I didn't know where she was. I also woke up and she also woke up. And I came to church when I was preaching and I saw that she has come to church. Finish. Yeah. Daphne, did you tell me you're coming to church? When you woke up, you said, look, let me go and see that, you know, those guys. Nobody, I mean, it's open for everybody. But the important thing I want to drum home to you is that some of us could be in the perfect will. Some of us could be in the imperfect will. So that they see one is taken, the other is left. Even though we're in the same church. Even though we have the same hairstyles. It'll be exciting. Pray that day you'll not be in an aeroplane. I think it's a prayer everybody should make, that Lord, I don't want to be on an aeroplane. I don't want to be there. I don't want to be there. Or at least the pilots should be unbelievers. If I'm not going to make it, then the pilots should be unbelievers. I think that's the only day unbelievers will become useful. Because they will be left to land. Pray. Wow. Yeah. Yeah. But you have to pray that there isn't another airline, another aircraft that is on your flight path where the pilots are born again and they've gone. And the people in the control tower, pray that all of them are unbelievers so they can be there and be landing everybody well. Because if they've also disappeared, everybody is coming down. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your perfect will. Pray and ask God. Ask God whilst you are seated. Pray and ask God for his perfect will. Pray for yourself that, Lord, I want to know your perfect will. I want to know your perfect will for my life. Ask, choose a specific area for your life. Choose a specific area for your life. And Lord, guide me. I need your perfect will. I want your perfect will. I want your perfect will. I want your perfect will. Ask God. Ask God. Maybe it's church. Maybe it's job. Maybe it's schooling. Maybe it's relationship, marriage, whatever. Choose an area and ask God, that, Lord, I want to know your perfect will. I don't want to lose you when I get to this area. I don't want that area to be the junction, Lord, where I lost you. The junction when I went into your imperfect will. Your imperfect will. When I totally lost my way. Totally lost my way. Lord, help me. Help me find your perfect will. Help me find your perfect will. I want to know your perfect will. I want to know your perfect will, Lord. Your perfect will, oh God. 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 Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, thank you for your blessing. And thank you for your peace. Thank you for your peace. I want us to say this prayer together. I want everybody to mean this prayer from your heart. I want us all to say this prayer. Say, Heavenly Father, thank you for this afternoon. Thank you for Jesus Christ, who died for my sins and rose up on the third day. Say, Lord Jesus. Say, Lord Jesus, please come into my heart. Please come into my life. Be the Lord of my life. Be the master of my life. I want to serve you. I want to live for you. I want to obey you. I want to live the rest of my life obeying you. I want to walk in your perfect will. Say, thank you, Father, for accepting me.